Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 166. I nearly said 165 then.
That was last week.
That was last week. We're not going back in time. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And this is GamerCast.
Yeah, we already said that.
For the 16th of August. It's really weird. Do I sound echoey?
You sound quieter than you did.
Yeah, I'll turn the mic up. Yeah, basically, I don't know if I mentioned last week that I'm going to be moving.
Yes, you did.
To make this bit more sellable as a two-bedroom flat, we've had to disassemble the den. So it's empty. I can only put my Mac on the drawing board. I don't have a computer desk anymore. And I've got a set of drawers that my monitor is on, so I can no longer hook my Mac up to my monitor anymore. I'm using that as a TV for the DVD player. Although I have got my PlayStation 1 out, so I can play Final Fantasy on it. My drawing stuff's still here, and my wardrobe, and that's pretty much it. The rest of the room is empty. So, it's freaking weird. But pretty cool. Very spacious, you know.
Rooms typically are when you empty them.
Yeah. And now my mum's spare room is not empty because it's all in there.
I'm sure she's happy about that.
Yeah. I can't get into the chat room. Are we in the chat room? Are we doing the chat
room? I'm not in the chat room because
it never works.
Because it can't be bothered.
Okay, we'll leave the chat room for today. I've lost the show notes.
We're going to start with the Rage trailer.
Yes. Rage trailer, what did you think?
Well, Rage is one of these games that I've been, you know, half following for the last couple of years. But to be honest, meh.
It seems like a rehash of Quake, because they call it Rage. Now, it says Quake, but I don't know if it's not Quake or...
Well, no, it's Rage. It's a completely different universe. It's sort of a post-apocalyptic Mad Max Fallout, you know, the sort of bog-standard thing like that, and it's, you know...
Yeah, I think it's because it's id and it looks like Quake. You straight away, your brain goes, oh, Quake, because it's like when we were talking about it before, the first thing that popped out of my mouth is... So, where is this in the Quake universe? But obviously, it's not.
No.
Which is a bit strange. The mutants look just like they're out of Quake, though, and it's just a bit...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an id game, so it's going to be similar in that.
Yeah, and as like with id, is id owned by Bethesda now?
Id was purchased by Bethesda a month or two ago.
Yeah. So... It brings it in line, the fact that they've got this Rage thing coming out. It's published by Electronic Arts, but it's not done by Electronic Arts, which is a good thing. So obviously it's made it. And also it kind of goes in line with Fallout, because it does have that sort of Fallout feel from the trailer, while still having that... Best way that I would describe it is it looked like... playing Fallout, but someone took all the textures off and then put Doom and Quake textures on and went, there you go, play.
It's not exactly how I describe it, but yeah.
Yeah, it had that sort of, you know, mixtures of the both. One thing I did like was the fact that it had that, like you said earlier, that real Mad Max sort of feel where you had the cars all kind of mashed together and you're in this apocalyptic world and you're machine guns on buggies. So yeah, it's kind of interesting, but I don't know. It could work, but I do like Fallout 3 just for the fact of its simplicity of never-ending do-whatever-you-want, like Oblivion was, where this feels
except
a lot more...
Except, of course, it ends if you complete the main campaign.
Yeah. Just don't do that bit. I still haven't got around to getting any of the expansions yet. But,
neither have I.
Yeah. What did you think to the new content for Xbox Live?
I had a brief look at it, but it's like meh, whatever.
Did you have a look at the new clothes that they brought out?
Yeah, meh, whatever.
I thought it was kind of cool that I could like dress up as a stormtrooper. I could have a lightsaber. I could put armor on from Gears of War, and I was just thinking to myself, there are some really cool pieces that are very me, and I could see myself just spending the 400 points or whatever points they are, putting it on my character, and then never changing my character ever again. It just permanently being like that. But I do like the fact that there's items. The items is quite cool. And I like the fact that it lets you preview them. But, yeah, it's cool. But, like you said, meh, can I be bothered to go get Microsoft points to get that? But I did like with the games on demand that they've changed it away from the point system. You actually see how much they are. And you actually have to pay for them in that, not get Microsoft points to get them sort of thing.
Yeah.
It does mean if you've got loads of Microsoft points, you can't buy a games on demand game, which is a bit cheeky, as far as I can tell. Unless they let you use them, I don't know. But yeah, great amount. Apart from that, pretty cool. Nothing major that I could actually do anything with. It was just a nosy. But meh.
Meh.
We shall see.
We're getting jaded.
Yeah. It's kind of like that build. We're getting that build up ready for when they eventually go around and go, here's the new update. You need to buy this camera so every time your cat walks in front of the Xbox, it gets scanned.
Great.
See, do you have animals at your new place now?
We have snails.
Right. So I don't think they're going to start controlling the Xbox.
I hope not. Because if they're loose, then we're all doomed.
Yeah, I imagine they make a mess if they get up. Who's got snails?
Charlotte does. She's got two snails, and they've recently had like 200 eggs. So now The place is going to be filled with snails.
Yeah, I've been there before. I used to have stick insects. I bought one from the science department for 99p, and I ended up having 30 of them in a fish tank because... I wanted to keep the eggs, maybe hatch a few out just to replace the stick insect when it passed, you know, when it finally kicked the bucket. And they were sat in a box that was sealed. And we went on holiday, and the person who was looking after our cat knocked the box over and the lid came off, and she scooped up as many as she could find, sealed the box. But the ones that had just gone everywhere had hatched, and when we came back, we found around about 30 stick insects all over the kitchen.
Oh.
Luckily, they don't move too fast. They're quite easy to round up.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on with the home content?
Yeah. PlayStation 3 have some new home content for home that will be coming out soon. The first bit is a Batman-themed apartment, which will be like the Batcave sort of thing, where you have your own Batmobile and everything. This is not for purchasable. You can't purchase it to convert your apartment. It is actually free. And when I say free, it is only free if you go out and purchase Batman Dark Asylum. So as soon as you've got that game and you played it, it automatically unlocks it for you out of the home content. Which I think is a nice little twist. It's kind of similar to the whole get your avatar, get clothes to do with a game that you like, or maybe give him like a hat or a t-shirt or an item that only comes unlocked when you do a certain achievement, which you have to work for. But I don't know. It seems a bit flaky. They have announced that there's going to be some more content being dropped into the plaza and some other bits and bobs. But do I really want to stand around and being abused by 14-year-olds playing with the damn thing? It seems like an over-advanced chat channel. I was kind of excited. I thought, ooh, I can go to the cinema. I can look at these trailers. I can do this. And it was just kind of like, I've always dreamed about having a virtual environment that allows you to meet up with your friends, walk around, maybe pick up a skateboard over to somewhere and go, ooh, I'm going to play this game, and click on something and you play the game. But after all that, playing home, you just kind of felt like, meh. I don't want to have to walk across the plaza then wait for a loading time as I load into the cinema, then walk through the cinema and then try and find the trailer I want to watch, then walk through the doors and wait till I load into the cinema place, and then sit down and watch something that I could have just gone click, 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 beep, bonk, and you're in your Xbox.
Exactly. It's a nice concept. Like, it's a good toy, but, you know, it's not a replacement menu.
No. And then if you look at what Xbox have done, they've got the nice little slide-along thing, which is very similar to PlayStation, and I think they've adapted that because with the PlayStation, they found that it was very user-friendly for everyone.
Hang on a minute. The PS3 menu is not user-friendly. It's a disgrace. The text is far too small. It's too bitty. There's not enough information on the screen. Basically, what the Xbox 360 one is the media center UI. You know, it's big, easy to read from a distance.
It's that crossbar. That's what I was on about, the crossbar.
Well, yeah, it's a menu which scrolls always.
Yeah. That's the only comparison I was making, not that it's the same.
UI which existed in Media Center long before the PS3 existed.
I never really played with the Media Center that much. But yeah, it's the whole two bottom ones, the two bottom rows. Of all that information that slowly moves along, every day you go on, there's something different. You've got send a message, and IGN have got their slot on there with all their videos of how to do this, that, and the other. And it's nice because you're getting these and there's loads of the Xbox Live kick-ins where you just start streaming a video. And I always just turn on my Xbox, grab the remote, and I just watch a couple of those after I come in from work just to see what's new, check some stuff out, click on a download and get that running to download whatever's out, watch some stuff from E3 that's just come out on video. Because what was the last thing I did? After I'd updated, I had a look to see what was there. I watched a new video for Halo ODST, which is very good, showing more about the individual characters. It looks like they've not said it officially, but the trailer, the voice for the trailer, is the guy from Firefly.
Which guy?
The captain.
Oh God!
It's him.
Don't tell Charlotte that.
I know she'll get excited. The first thing that popped into my head was, oh my God, she's going to get excited for that. And then it does show him, and it seems that it's been in-game moments, and it's still his voice. So it looks like he's voiced that character, the main guy. Not the guy that you play, but it's the guy who's in charge of the ODST squad. So that was quite cool. I'm still looking forward to that. It's majorly on my list. And then I also watched Sega's new Alien vs. Predator. And I must admit, I'm quite excited. I got very excited about Colonial Marines, but this first thing was, wow, I'm a Predator. And I can actually jump up trees, and you can jump from branch to branch and then drop down, and it was very stealthy, but still you were very powerful, which is very cool. It's the first bit of anything I've seen for that game, and I must admit, I didn't even realize Sega was doing it, but I'm quite impressed with that. It's coming out later this year. I believe it's out sometime in November, I believe, and Colonial Marines won't be out until next year, first quarter, I think. But it didn't give any hint to whether you played as the aliens or humans, or you're just playing as a predator in an Alien versus Predator sort of gameplay sort of thing.
As far as I know, you'll be playing as all three races, because it is still an AVP game, and I wouldn't imagine they've changed the formula too much, because if you aren't just playing as a predator or just as an alien, or you know, or not playing as humans, it loses stale. The point.
Yeah, exactly. One thing I did like about it is up there with the comic and the original Alien vs. Predator games that me and you play on PC. It's set in that sort of time period where you've got the Predators, Aliens, and then your classic Colonial Marines. So it's not following, it's got nothing to do with the film. So all of a sudden you're listening and you're going, oh no, Alien vs. Predator, they're making a game after that movie. No. No, 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 no. This is Alien vs. Predator, how it's supposed to be. The films were just ripped off from this storyline.
When it's set in the Alien time frame.
Yes. it's alien time frame, the Predators just happen to be about, and it's good. It's great. It's lovely. I've read the comics, I've played the video games, and I've not got major excited about this because it's just still in the dark. I was waiting for more to come out, but after watching this trailer, which is available on Xbox Live, yeah, I'm getting a little bit more excited about it. It's kind of like, kill some aliens, jump up some trees. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Perfect Dark?
Yeah. Someone told me about this, and
this is on Live Arcade, isn't it?
Yep, it's going to be out on Live Arcade. No release date as such for UK release, but pretty excited about it. My mate told me about it. We've always been massive first-person shooters on the N64 when we both had GoldenEye, and we would just play GoldenEye all the time. And then when Perfect Dark came out, it was like a godsend, because when we could get a load of us together, it was perfect, because you'd be 2v2 or 3v1. And then when Perfect Dark came out, it meant that it could just be me and Tom playing Perfect Dark back-to-back in a room, trying to get as much ammo as possible, shooting down waves and waves of enemies. And that's what I got excited about ODST. The multiplayer on that is a similar sort of wave system. And my mate Tom got excited when he started playing the wave system in Gears of War 2, and he said it just reminds me of that map we used to play, and we were locking ourselves in that room, and the swarms of aliens would just keep coming through the door. And the idea of just going back, I know when I go back, it's just not going to be the same. You go back and play Xbox games, and they look a little bit bad from what your memory reminds you of. But supposedly it's had a bit of a tinkering over the textures, but still the same models. Not too bad. I must admit, to play all the way through that game, there's going to be people who have had an Xbox from release on the 360, played Perfect Dark Zero, and kind of wondered, what the hell? And it's building up to something that you never get in Zero, because what it's building up to is what happened in Perfect Dark. So you're back again playing Joanna Dark, but now she works for the organization that showed up at the end of Number Zero, and is carrying on. Great game. One thing I really do like is it had a co-op mode, which was new for the that style of game on the N64 at the time, which was great. But it had this really, really cool co-op versus mode, which I really liked, and I've not seen any games do it, to my knowledge, since, where you play a normal game. Player one plays as Joanna Dark, and she just plays the game normally, from A to B.
Yep.
No different than playing it by yourself. Player two plays the first bad guy along, spawns up as that person, completely aware of where he is, and then he can move forwards as if controlling the AI and try and take out Joanna. If the person who's playing Joanna kills that person, he automatically spawns so many bad guys down the road again. So you're always a set. When you die, you're not right in front of the person again. You will move further. So if there's like 10 people coming around the corner and you're the first one, Joanna headshoots you, you drop down, you're not going to be the 10th person. You'll just be around the corner and you'll respawn as another one of those people. So it meant that you could play the game, but you always knew that further down the line, one of these were no longer going to be AI. They were not going to follow their rail of path to follow you over the events of what you're causing. The AI all of a sudden would be taken over by another person, which I thought it's a shame it's not getting used more often, because it really adds a change of element, that all of a sudden you're shooting these characters, you know what they'll do. The AI is normally very intuitive, so you're not sure exactly what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden they do something completely random because it's being controlled by one of your friends online. And I must say, especially with, because the disadvantage to that was you could see roughly where they were because you're on split screen. Where if you had that on a game where your friend was on Xbox Live, you've got no concept of where he is. And all of a sudden some guys come around and one of them just starts acting erratically because he's being controlled by a human and doesn't follow protocol and goes running off somewhere else and runs around the back of you. And it just adds a new element to the game, which is a shame it's not being brought in. from the looks of it, it doesn't look like there's any online ability, which is a bit of a shame. It just said offline, two-player co-op, and four-player multiplayer. So it looks like it's exactly the same abilities as the original, but no additions to the game for using Xbox Live for playing multiplayer. Even if it was multiplayer up to four people, there has been no tinkering to add that feature, which is a bit of a shame. But so if you wanted to play multiplayer on it, you're going to actually have to be all sat on the same Xbox.
Yeah.
Which I ain't going to be that fussed for, because my mate Tom will comes around all the time to play video games, and that sort of thing is the sort of game where we just have that kind of like, it's just like the old days, and just play it. So I'm definitely going to be getting it. It's a definite good game.
Shall we talk about this new Games on Demand thing then, shall we?
Yeah, Games on Demand was out on the last
patch.
Yep. And I've got here the release, because I had a look and noticed that we didn't receive all of the games. And US didn't receive all the games either. There's some games which have actually been split between
good.
US...
Maybe Finland. Retailers yeah. can manage to stay open somehow.
Yeah. So, for the initial release, we have Assassin's Creed, Bioshock, US only, Burnout Paradise, Call of Duty 2, Dance Dance Revolution Universe, US only, Elder Scrolls Oblivion,
oh, hey.
Fight Night 3,
oh, hey.
Cameo Elements of Power,
oh, hey.
Karaoke Revolution American Idol Encore, US
Meh.
Only, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, Mass Effect, Meet the Robinsons, MX vs. ATV Untamed, Need for Speed Carbon, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Perfect Dark Zero, Prey, Ridge Racer 6, US only, Rockstar Games Presents Table Tennis, Sega Rally Revo, Europe only, Sonic the Hedgehog, US only, Test Drive Unlimited, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas, Tomb Raider Legend, Europe only, Viva Pinata, and Viva Pinata Trouble in Paradise.
Woo.
So that's the initial release to give a good selection, as well as the Xbox One titles are still there in place. And they're all jumbled up in between. You can separate and you can look at new releases and stuff like that. From the looks of it, I cannot see any other Xbox One titles coming out unless they have a list of ones that are still compatible with the Xbox 360, which they are looking forward to releasing later. I have found out that no more updates will be coming out for the Xbox 360 for updating Xbox One.
There won't be any more compatibility games. Updates, basically.
Yeah. So what's compatible at the moment? That's your lot. There's not going to be any more. Because they're basically saying even people aren't playing Halo 2 anymore. The numbers have completely dropped because a lot of people have an Xbox 360 now, and they're still all playing Halo 3. And Halo 3 is still one of the most popular games on Xbox Live.
Exactly. I mean, we're well into the Xbox 360's lifespan at the moment. And you playing an Xbox One game? Get real.
They've got more better things to be doing for the Xbox 360 than having to waste man hours on actually doing this, because it takes a long time and effort to actually recode to get them to be compatible. So it's time that could be well spent on things for the Xbox 360. They've given a good go at putting across a wide range of selection for people if they want to have them as downloaded games, as well as a wide selection from downloaded that goes onto your hard drive for you to go out and get a pre-owned game to actually play an old game, or from your own library of games. So it looks like it's more in the sense of the time will be spent on digitizing all of the games ready for release onto the Xbox 360 from the Xbox 360 chart. So I won't be surprised we'll start seeing the back catalog slowly increase. But it's good that they've given a wide selection. Otherwise, you would feel like, oh, it's a cool idea, but you haven't released any games that I'd like. So they've given a wide range of genre, which is very good. And I must admit, I'd be really tempted to get Mass Effect if I didn't know that you could pick it up for a tenner in HMV. Because every single game I've looked at is all $19.99.
Yeah, they're pretty pricey.
So they've all hit their rock bottom. Yeah, they're all hit their rock bottom price. And I wouldn't be surprised. Assassin's Creed is supposed to be retailed at $19.99, but I wouldn't be surprised most places are selling it for $14.99. And so on and so forth. They're all hit that budget price of $19.99, but they're going down in price because people still want to sell them. The best way to look at it is your $19.99 is your standard price for your old game. And if you want to have that extra £5, £8, or £3 cheaper game, go down to your local retail store and pick up a disc. If you don't mind spending that $19.99, you can download a copy and it's always on your hard drive. It's on the cloud system, so you can always re-download if you need the space, which means you can do that thing that me and Paul love, play a game and not have to put a disc in. So I must admit, there probably are... Lego Star Wars, for me, will probably be a perfect game for me to buy because it's that sort of game that you're like... It's no different gameplay style. It's like Castle Crashers on Xbox Live. So for me, it's one of those pick-up-and-play and just muck about with it sort of thing. And I must admit, pretty close to Oblivion as well. It's the sort of thing where I could just pick it up and muck about in that world and then come back out again and not feel like I had to bother putting a disc in. But yeah, some of them I'd be tempted to, but some of them I'm just kind of like, nah, can I be bothered? Yeah, I've already completed it. Tomb Raider Legends, yeah, I'd be quite interested in that, but... Can I actually be bothered to spend $19.99 on Tomb Raider Legend when I know I could get it a lot cheaper? So I don't know what sort of people are actually going to be using this service.
Lazy people who can't be bothered to order it online and actually get a physical copy, or people who are just lazy and can't be bothered to go into town.
Yeah. But then on the other side of it, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's pick one. Cameo and Perfect Dark Zero, I wouldn't be surprised you'd have a hard time finding copies of those. A few places probably still have them where no one wants to buy them anymore. But you wouldn't be able to pick those up new.
No, they were both launch titles.
And that, yeah, so these are games, there are going to be games here that you're only going to pick up pre-owned. And this is a you-own-it title. Now, the advantage to it is, for the people who are selling this game, is you can't sell this game. It's yours. You're stuck with it. It'll be a tag to your gamer tag. So, you know, it's yours to keep forever. And I must admit, the other advantage means that there are going to be games that are going to be releasing that maybe further down the line you're going, oh, I really would like to actually play through Perfect Dark Zero, but you can't find it anywhere for love the money, and some guy's offering £40 on eBay because he knows people might want it.
Nah, it's not that much. It's probably more like £10 secondhand somewhere.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. As an example, there's probably going to be a game on there where someone is like, "Oh, actually, I want to really get that," but you cannot find it anywhere. At least here, there is a digital download for you to be able to get hold of. And I do like that because now and again, I kind of get that feeling of, I really want to go back and try that game because I never tried it, but can't get it anywhere. At the moment, I'm actually looking into the idea of picking up a cheap secondhand GameCube to replace the one that got nicked. And I'm just going to try and get hold of a copy of all the Zelda games. And I've had a look to try and find a copy of the release of Twilight Princess on the GameCube. And I found one place selling it for £50 because it didn't release that many copies. And to try and get over it, I'm like, geez, when I know how much it is, and I'm starting to think to myself, God, it'd be cheaper for me to just go buy a Wii and just use the Wii as a cheap GameCube just for the fact that Twilight Princess is cheaper. But I don't know. I'm still going to have a hunt around and try and see if I can find it secondhand in a store somewhere. But yeah, it's that sort of thing of all of a sudden it's that retro picking up stock, and it's the idea of actually going back and owning old games and not having to worry about a dirty disc. But I don't know. I'm waiting for maybe some titles, because this is all around about the same time when I had my summer after, but it's mainly when I had my Xbox originally, and then there's that gap where I didn't have one for a while until it came back. So I know Mass Effect was in that period as well. So there's a few games there now, but there's some more games that come out that are in that period that I never got around to playing and I haven't had a chance to go back. The arm may be twisted and I might buy one, but I don't know yet. What do you think? Tempted?
I've never really bought that many games like online. Even Steam, I only buy games if they're really cheap, you know? And I don't...
Yeah, like when...
I don't imagine myself buying many Xbox games this way.
Unless there was that one that you were like, I don't own it, I haven't owned it, but oh, I can play that all the time. It's something you could just pick up and play. You know, that's where it can get tempting. But I must admit, at the moment, there's nothing majorly that is that whole tempting.
You know, if I wanted a game, Rockstar I would have bought it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's a good way of giving people access to old content, because I doubt it actually costs them anything to actually have it for people to download, comparison to having to produce it all.
No, the costs are negligible.
Handout or yeah. So I think it's good to have this backs list of games. And I must admit, I don't know if they'd be willing to do it, but once this library starts catching up and starts getting big and it's popular, what would be really nice is that as soon as a game has just gone to the 1999 section, I don't know if they would be willing to actually go, right, as soon as we go, it's... What is it? Because it's platinum for PlayStation.
Classics.
Classics, that's it. Because mostly these have all gone through the classics already. So it'd be interesting to see if when something goes classic, whether it ends up on this list straight away, or whether it's like a set time period of... see how long they can sell it as a classic before they dump it out onto here. Well, they may turn around and go, as far as we're concerned, classic, a game being on classic on disc is the same as game being on games on demand, and we'll treat them exactly the same. Because it's just a because the classic is just a republished game into the classics library for people to go back and go, well, I wasn't that bothered to spending £40 on that game. But yeah, £19. Yeah, I'll be tempted to buy it now because I never went. So it is kind of like games on demand is like the classic section. It's just the old classic section with a few ones. I must admit, Star Wars Lego probably hasn't been a classic for a long time compared to some of them. So they've got a broad range. So I would be very happy if they turn around and was like, yeah, classic, it's on games on demand. Because then I'd be very tempted. As soon as the game goes on a classic, I'd probably... It hasn't been in that section for a long period of time, but a lot of these I'm kind of like, I know I can probably pick them up new, like Mass Effect. It's the idea. I'd love to buy it, but I know I can pick that up for tenner.
All right, shall we move on and hit the new PEGI ratings?
Go for it.
So some people might have noticed, if they've bought a new game lately, that the PEGI ratings have changed design somewhat. Have you seen what they look like now?
No. Is there any games that I should be looking for that you know that there are?
I had one here earlier on. I've forgotten what it was. Just go to PEGI.info. And if you go to... let's have a look. If you go to what are the ratings, you can see what they now look like. So basically, they've added some color coding to it as well. So... like a 3 and a 7 are now green, a 12 and a 16 are now orange, and an 18 is red. So instead of just being the regular sort of black background, they're now color coded.
Which I think is a good idea, because the film boards thing where you have...
The BBFC ratings were color coded, so 12. It's an obvious change to make.
Yeah, because they've got... it says BBFC in writing is like a pattern, and it's very obvious. You don't have to see that 18. Someone can just glance and see the red and go, it's 18. See the white with the red and go, it's 15. See the yellow and see it's a PG. See the green and know it's a U. So I think having that color code really probably will help parents feel a little bit more careful on what games they're choosing to buy for their children, without thinking, well, it should have the 18 certificate on it. You know, it allows them to actually see what the rating should be. Have they said whether they're going to still be putting the 18 certificate with the PEGI rating, or is it still?
Well, the current plans are for the BBFC to stop rating them.
Right. Which I think is a good idea, because if they keep rating them, it's a good thing that a parent can pick up Grand Theft Auto 4 and they see that 18.
But it's not on all the games. You know, you either have to rate all of them or none of them.
Exactly.
Don't have two different things.
Exactly. So if they go, ooh, Grand Theft Auto 4, you're not having that, it's an 18. They won't buy you an 18 film. And then they go pick up, I can't actually think of a game off the top of my head, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they don't read the back and go, yes, you can decapitate your friends and wear their head on your head like a hat, and, you know, and strangle someone with God knows what. But he didn't get an 18 certificate on it. Yeah, little Johnny can have that. It doesn't matter. And he comes screaming in, mommy, mommy, blood everywhere. They want kids to desensitized to everything these days. But you know what I mean? It's that whole, like you said, if parents start seeing those certificates on video games, they presume that if it's not on another game, then it's fine for them to have it. It's for kids. And a lot of parents can't get their head around the idea that people of my age and older play video games. They are a demographic market. You know, they need to be given their blood and gore. And the genre and the age range of video games is getting bigger as the industry has got stronger. And there are people there who are so naive to that idea that they don't realize that you could be walking in and it's no different than walking into a video store and picking up a DVD. You know, you wouldn't just randomly walk into H&V and just pick anything. You know, you would actually look what you're buying. You could be buying God knows what for your child. So I think it's a good idea to get rid of it and just have it as PEGI with a very color-coded, in-your-face, this is for your child, this is for your really annoying 18-year-old son at home, so he can just destroy something and stay out of your way for half an hour.
Yes, it's a good move, because the old ratings, they were, you know, not that attractive from a design point of view. And they weren't that obvious. I mean, a lot of people just thought, oh, this is how, you know, it measures the difficulty of the game. So, you know, they've got a 12-year-old, and they won't buy them a 3-plus game because they think, oh, it's really easy. So hopefully unifying it and having one rating on all games and having the same sort of color scheme as the BBFC ratings, hopefully people will get it into their heads that this is a content rating and that they won't think, oh, because there's no BBFC logo on it, it's not rated, which a lot of people, you know, thought.
Yeah.
So get the BBFC off all the games and just having the PEGI rating is a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. Are we ready for the next news?
What, the Cataclysm news?
Now, yeah. If you want to listen to BlizzCon Live, or you're going and you haven't heard the news, which if you are going to BlizzCon, it's very unlikely you wouldn't have heard this news already, as it's been pounded through Twitter like no one's
How's
business.
It?
But if you're a WoW fan and you will know what we're talking about. But if you don't, skip forward a bit, or just stop listening now, because the leak has happened of what is probably going to be announced. But I have got that feeling that this may be done on purpose by BlizzCon as a little sneaky thing. But I'm not entirely sure. I don't know. I'm excited to find out if it's true or not, because I still don't believe it. I still have my doubts.
All right. So this is what the rumors are. basically, the new WoW expansion pack will be called Cataclysm.
Yep.
The level cap, instead of being 90 like most people expect, will only be 85.
I didn't know about that. I didn't
slow,
hear that.
You see?
Ooh.
This is what happens when your crappy Twitter posts are only 144 characters. There won't be any new classes, but there will be two new races. Goblins, yep. who will be a horde race, and Worgens, who will be an alliance race. A bit unusual, yep. I think, to use Worgens, because, you know, I just remember being killed by them a lot.
Yeah, there is an area that's in the north of the Eastern Kingdoms, I believe, that is locked off by a massive gate or something, and supposedly the Worgens live there. So that might be where the starting area might be for them as such.
Yeah, but it's still a bit weird how they're being incorporated into the Alliance. You know, humans are pretty racist, exactly. And I wouldn't imagine they want these half-werewolf things walking around.
Exactly, because the idea was that it's an alliance between the main races of gnomes, dwarves.
Well, it's basically the alliance between, elves, you know, the humanoid races of the Eastern Kingdoms.
Yeah, and you can see with the lore works out perfectly because the Draenei landed down and befriended with the alliance. The Blood Elves, obviously, with the way they are, went
left
with
the alliance.
Horde. But the Orcs are not from Azeroth, and have always been at war since they arrived with the humans. So obviously, that's why they're on that side. It's only one tribe of. I wanted to say goblins then. What is it? The ones that sound like Jamaican. I got a complete mind blank.
Wow.
Trolls, thank you. The trolls, it's only one tribe that's actually in the horde. The other tribes are doing whatever they want. So they've always been attacking the humans anyway. They've always been a nuisance. And it's only one that has got organized and joined the horde. The undead, it's obvious there because there being it's that racism thing of the fact that they were once with the Lich King against the humans and now they're fighting for their own freedom, but obviously a human looks at the undead no different than they looked at the Scourge. So
yeah, if anything the Horde is the collection of people who the Alliance don't like
that has fought with before, and since everything's merged together, you can see it makes sense why they banded together and why the Alliance have banded together. And I just hope that if they do this, they give a good reason why the Worgen would want to join the Alliance and why the Alliance would accept.
But then there's also, not only that, there's also the fact that goblins, you know, even that's a bit iffy.
We were talking about this at work. Yeah, it wouldn't be the whole goblins.
No.
It wouldn't be the Steamwheel Cartel. This would have to be like a different, because it's one person who's in charge of the Steamwheel Cartel, so it would have to be another person who was in charge of their own one and decided to join the Horde. Now, from reading the books, any time that you've ever seen a goblin, they've always been with the Orcs in the books. They were always there at this kind of like, they would backstab even an Orc for their own advance, but they were there helping them build things and use their technology and things like that. They always seemed like they were friendly, but
they were out
still
to make a profit.
Exactly, and they gave that sort of impression. So the only thing I can think of is that something has happened where it's to do with the profit. Now, we were listening to a few podcasts and talking about this at work with a few of my mates who play WoW, and it was that whole thing of the main city for the goblins is very close and connected with the Maelstrom, and the idea that the Maelstrom is one of the hinted places for the next expansion pack. And Cataclysm, Maelstrom, I don't know, it's got a kind of a ring to it. So I don't know, it makes sense that maybe whoever these goblins are, that whatever happens with the Maelstrom has affected them, and they need help, and they basically, I don't know, picked a side, and the only side they thought they could pick without being, I don't know, for some reason, they picked the Horde. So,
yeah, I'm not 100% sold on this yet. If anything gives this away as fake, it's that item there.
Yeah. And also the fact that this was picked up on in the miners who have been the data miners for the patch, and when they were going through the content and they found the masks, they did find more masks of other races afterwards, which made them think that it wasn't true. Part of me was thinking that maybe they found them and more masks were chucked in quickly to hide this fact, so it makes me think that this is really true, or that they weren't put in and maybe they're running along with this to make everyone believe that this is what the content is, so that when they actually announce it, it's even more powerful. Part of me is thinking that Cataclysm isn't actually the name of the new expansion, and that maybe we've been led to believe, so that we walk in, well, the people who go to BlizzCon walk in believing Cataclysm, the new expansion, and then they turn around and go, right, we're going to announce the new massive multiplayer RPG by Blizzard, and it is called Cataclysm. You know, I'm expecting them to turn around and say, no, this is our new game, it's called Cataclysm.
Yeah, you never know.
The new expansion is blah, 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 blah.
Anyways.
So, I don't know. I'm still
moving on
my seats.
Although there's going to be no new classes, there will be new combinations of race and classes. So, for example, you can have an undead and human hunter, for example.
Whoa! Mm-hmm. Human hunter. Is that just an example? Is that the only ones, or is it just an
that's an example off the top of my head? Or like a paladin night elf, which would be really stupid, but... Or even more stupid, a mage night elf, but that's what it says.
Oh, if they do a mage night elf, I'm going to, the hate mail will start, because that's the whole point of a night elf. They went druidism, and the high elves were night elves that were in on the mage.
We're into
mage
magic
and stuff, and they split off, and that was the whole point.
So yeah, be warned.
Ah, no. Yeah, they may be ruining the game any moment.
Probably the biggest thing, though, about this patch should be Azeroth will be completely revamped.
Mm-hmm.
So all the zones will be redone. Some of the zones will be destroyed, like Thousand Needles apparently gets flooded and destroyed. But then they'll probably open up new zones like Mount Hyjal and, you know, things like that.
This makes sense, because have you heard what's happening for the next content patch? Not the major content patch, but the new patch coming up for November. Basically, they're redoing one of the raids. Anixia's raid is being revamped. So now you'll be able to go into Anixia and
do it at level 80.
Level 80 raid. 10 man, 25 man, and also there will be a drop of a Anixia flying mount at 310% speed. And if you log on during the period in November for the anniversary, you will also get an Anixia whelp pet. Welch, pretty cool. But the fact that they've actually, you know, we've been going on and on, you know, revamped the old, you know, put heroics into some of the old dungeons. You know, people want to play them at the low levels, but you want to go level 80 and go back to the old school. We want a reason to come back. And they've done it by saying come back as a low level, because we've redone all of the mount changes. But the fact they've said, right, all of a sudden you're going to have hordes of level 80s all coming across to do 10-man and 25-man in Anixia. I'm not hoping that all the raids go, but hey, how many people are just going to buy WoW and not get any expansions? How many people are actually going to go to level 60 and stay at level 60 only just to do the raids? Not very many people. And I don't think they would have many people complaining if they turned around and went, right, every time we expand the game, we're going to rearrange all of the old content to match the level cap. And I think that would rock. If it meant that you could always keep doing these raids. They were a bit easier, or maybe they were like the new hard ones. And every so often, you know, the level cap would go up and you'd wait a while. And after a year, all the raids from the old content would catch up bit at a time. You know, we could go back and do Molten Core. Maybe once the level cap gets high enough, they might go back and redo the raids for Burning Crusade. Because the most of it at the moment, unless, you know, you can still quite happily do the raids in Burning, even if you're level 80.
But it's obviously not much of a challenge.
Yeah, good starting point sort of thing. But yeah, I'm quite impressed with the whole going back, because they always kept making this hint of, it's too much effort. Don't you want us to do stuff for the new stuff instead of going back to the old stuff and making it new? And I'm liking this. But yeah, if that's what's happening, because you said that like Thousand Needles is going to get flooded, which would be quite cool because it looks like somewhere where water would have come through before. So water, Maelstrom, flooding, it kind of makes sense that maybe the Maelstrom's all kept getting a little bit feisty and we're all in for it, and Azeroth is going to, we're going to be up to our elbows in water and we're all going to be farming ducks and wearing wellies.
Moving on. Leveling up in Azeroth will be a lot faster and easier. And there'll be more storytelling. Whatever that means.
Ooh.
But most importantly, flying in Azeroth.
I imagine it's something, so when you get to level 60, you'll be able to fly around, sort of thing. I can't imagine them letting you have flying mounts for leveling up to the 60
I suspect if you've got a flying mount, it'll work as normal, but you still need to go to Burning Crusade Land to get it. That's what I suspect.
Yeah. So you have to wait until you can go.
And then, you might 60. Only be able to do it at like level 85, and you have to buy a special like license to fly.
Yeah, I could see that happening. But then if they turned around and went, right, level 60, you can now have a flying mount. If you went and got that flying mount, you're in the content to move on. So that also means that if you've got, let me work it out. Are there any non-epic flying mounts available to purchase in? Is there any way of getting to Burning without going through the Dark Portal?
Teleport.
Take that back. If you've not got the expansions, there's no way of getting a flying mount. Yeah, so that means that it's going to be to the point of you hit level 58, you get to level 60, you're out in Burning Crusade, you've got your flying mount. I wouldn't be surprised they'll have it so that once you've got to that point, you can still go back to old content because you still have that ability to go back. Things can still kill you because you've only just left. But you can still go back and farm for stuff. But yeah, I can see
Azeroth's being revamped means you'll want to go and explore anyway, because I suspect if it's getting revamped, there'll be new quests there anyway for like high level people.
Mm. Yeah. Because if you look at it, they've always had Kalimdor and Eastern Kingdoms as two areas where you could level up. You kind of had to jump backwards and forwards because some areas were more inherent for Horde than Alliance, and some were for Horde and for Alliance. But it meant that you pretty much could stay on one continent. You didn't have to necessarily go across. It was a bit slower if you didn't. But there's enough space that if they made you have to move backwards and forwards from continent to continent as you moved up through the leveling zones, it probably could be possible to fence off certain areas of Azeroth and make them level 85.
Well, they wouldn't even need to fence them off.
Know what I mean? You don't. When you're walking around, there's areas that you can accidentally walk into
where you will die,
and you're like, "Whoa, shouldn't do." Yeah. Let me think of one. Burning Steps. I think it's Burning Steps is where Blackrock is.
Yeah, you can walk into there from Redridge.
The south, Yeah, and you could just happily just walk in there and you will die. So they have it the same sort of thing. You don't have, you know, they're not destroying the area by going, oh, well, I can't go that way anymore. How am I supposed to get to that other bit? You don't need to go through there at that level. It's just an access point. So have it the same way. You know, there's this new 85 level area in Azeroth somewhere in Eastern Kingdoms and in Kalimdor, and you could accidentally walk into it and find yourself getting completely and utterly slaughtered. But you don't, they have it so that they put them in key places where it doesn't matter if you don't go there. If you're level 15 and you're trying to level up, you'll go, ooh, 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 they're all question marks, don't go in there. But it's not going to ruin the game for you. If they place it just right, I could really see it working, that we come full circle back to questing in Azeroth while also with the Maelstrom. I could see it really well. Even if they, I'm kind of curious whether or not the Maelstrom's actually going to be here, and Cataclysm is basically them screwing
Azeroth.
Up.
Yeah,
Azeroth.
That's one they went. Look, one way they could definitely do it.
Because if they screwed up Azeroth because something from the Maelstrom, and maybe there's this little area in the Maelstrom you go to, maybe some dungeons and stuff, and when the new content comes out, you get further and further into the Maelstrom. But maybe the initial start is the complete and utter screw up of floods and God knows what else in actual Azeroth. So you come back from the Lich King, you're having to deal with everything on your home turf before moving on to the Maelstrom. I could see that really working, and it would answer a lot of cries from the fans who have always been saying, we want to go back to Azeroth. You were happy about going back to Azeroth from actually coming back from Burning Crusades, but you were still in Northrend. It was a different place.
You wanted to go back to New Bland and see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm quite excited about that. That if it's that way round, I think it's really going to hit the nail on the head.
Or of course, this could entirely be made up and it's all fake.
Yeah, that's what's making me excited. I still don't believe it. I really still don't believe it. So, you know, I'm still going to be waiting for BlizzCon, which is end of this week.
It's
this weekend,
22nd it starts, doesn't it?
I believe.
Whenever it is.
Yeah, so we are the 16th, so we... nope, that's my MOT. There we are. So, yeah, next weekend. Next weekend we
we'll
are.
No, for
so
sure, Sunday.
Let's go on next weekend. Yeah, I shall be keeping our eyes out. So, yeah, we'll be able to follow up on next week's show on what's actually been announced at
StarCraft
BlizzCon,
2 beta,
which would be cool. Yes, if they can announce when the StarCraft 2 beta is actually
Saturday.
Coming out. If it it better come out this year. It
dude,
I know
screw
the game
that.
Had to
release it at BlizzCon. Do it. Release it then.
Who
cares if
so
it works or not? It's a fucking beta. It's not supposed to work properly.
I know, but just think of it this way. All those people have gone there to find out. They're at the BlizzCon for the next expansion pack. They're there to find all the new and cool stuff. Yet everybody who's at home and finds out on Twitter or whatever that the beta is up is sat at home playing StarCraft.
Yeah, they'd be happy about
and
that.
And everybody else who's just found that out is stuck at BlizzCon not playing the game. They're like, oh my god, I'm not going to get a beta key. Mum, I need you to go on the computer. No, you need to push the on button.
Hang on a minute, dude.
Oh,
I think
it.
All the BlizzCon attendees get a StarCraft key anyway. So,
yes,
yeah,
they're
doing that.
Yeah.
They'd just be thinking, no, I could be downloading it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We shall see. Speaking of open betas, the open beta of Champions Online starts tomorrow. I'm going to have a go so I can get into it. And that's released later in September. I'm quite excited about this game. I don't know if I'll get it on the PC. I'm quite tempted to actually get it on my Xbox because of the fact it's more of an arcadey style control system. Less of this hitting the buttons and waiting things for charging up. So I'm quite impressed with the game so far, what I've actually had a look on championsonline.com. Some of the videos shown for the power sets are quite interesting, and you kind of get like a you can get a bundle pack of all the powers bundled together for a style of character. But if you wanted to, you could just actually mix and match all your powers together. And even find a power that's got nothing to do with the style of character you've got, and then change the color of it. And if you change the color of the hue of whatever he was doing, it's kind of like, yeah, that looks like what my character's power would be. Just to, you know, so you've got millions of combinations of superheroes, which is really cool. So yeah, I'm going to see if I can get into that. But if not, I don't think I'm going to buy the game on release, because the fact I'm playing WoW, I don't know if I want to get into it yet. And it's only coming out on PC at the moment. I'm still waiting for a release date for Xbox. And it's rumored to be out on PlayStation 3 as well. So I'm going to hold off until there's a 14-day trial, or I can get on the beta to play it. But purchase, I'm hoping to hold out until the Xbox version. Right. I think that's it.
Feedback can go to feedback at gamercast.net, or could be left on the blog at gamercast.net. You can also visit the forums at portalforums.net.
I think we're getting better at this, don't we? Over Skype. It still seems weird. I keep wanting to look to the right to talk to you. It's like you're not sat next to me anymore.
I'm not looking. I'm not looking to the left. To the left is a wall.
Well, you don't really want to look at the wall. That I do like the fact I've got my own computer screen, so I can have all my tabs up, all the things I want to talk about, and I'm not constantly going, click on that tab, type this in. I can just do what I want to do and sort it all out.
Anyway, we'll see everyone next week.
Cool. Right. With BlizzCon. Laters.